engage one another and strengthen our relationships with one another for the common good of all the people. Just as Jesus lived by showing concern for all people from every walk of life, we are also called to care for one another and our planet. So this week and next week, we're going to talk about two tough topics that have kind of taken over by politics. And what I'm going to ask us to do is resist that conversation. My hope is that we can talk about these topics not from a political point of view that worries about addressing problems and challenges in developing policies. That's not the kind of conversation I'm hoping to have. What I'm hoping that we can do is talk about the topics of social justice, and next week we're going to have a conversation around immigration. But I want to have these conversations from a perspective of people of faith. And we're going to dig into that. This is people of faith as members of God's kingdom, as members of God's family. We're called to a different way of living in relationship with one another. So back to the purpose of this series is how do we talk about these topics in light of our core values that we hold as a community. These are the core values that were discerned at the very start, 13 years ago, of the barn. And these core values identify who we are striving to become as people. We don't always do this well. We can make mistakes, but we're striving to live into these values every day because they show us who God wants us to be and who God wants us to become, living in relationship with God, and how we're showing care for our neighbors. And these values have been discerned from the core basics of Jesus' teaching. So as Jesus taught and lived, his ministry is about relationships, whole, healing, life-giving relationships. And he never shied away from tough, challenging topics either. He listened, he loved, he fed, he healed, he broke the law when it was necessary to make sure that he could welcome all people into relationship. He loved all people from all walks of life, with all kinds of problems, from all different statuses, different abilities, different concerns, and different needs. And all people were welcomed into his comfort, his care, and his challenge. Jesus is the skin and bones of God. He became God's very real presence to people, the poor people who needed food, prisoners who needed to be freed, sinners who needed forgiveness, and the elites who needed to be humble and to learn what it means to be vulnerable. Jesus loves and cares for all of them, and Jesus loves and cares for all of us. This is the kind of community that they were longing for, that we all long for. And this is the kingdom that we see, that is almost here, that is here, that is not yet, when we pray together the Lord's Prayer. This morning I thought I would put up the Lord's Prayer in two different translations as we find it in the Gospel of Matthew. I like seeing these two prayers. We're going to wait to pray the prayer during our prayer times. We're just going to talk about it for right now. But even as I was talking with him, and I call you out, Alyssa and Kathy, as we were talking about it, Alyssa said to me, she's like, this isn't how we pray it. And I said, no, this isn't how we pray. This is how it is in Scripture. And it's changed a little bit through tradition how we have come to pray week by week in each of our churches. I like seeing this side by side because in the Message translation, I think the words kind of break open the meaning of the prayer that we more traditionally, as we traditionally say it. The Lord's Prayer is God's vision, God's of God's kingdom that is both right here on earth now, and it is a kingdom that is not here yet. It is in heaven, and it is almost here on earth. There are times when we can see it, that we can catch a glimpse of it, that we can feel it, and it's like a sifting sand that kind of slips away because we also see the brokenness that still exists. But when Jesus is asked by his friends how they should pray, this is how he answers them. There's also a reminder that Jesus is Jewish. And he is a Jewish man rooted in his Jewish faith, rooted in his teachings and learnings of the Hebrew scriptures, as he would have been taught by his teachers, his parents, his rabbi. He would have learned of God. God who's inviting us into relationship, who cares about our well-being, and who created us in God's own image. In his book, The Greatest Prayer, John Dominic Crossan writes, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray to the God of justice to be empowered by that God for justice. In the Torah, in the Prophets, and in the Psalms, the writers talk about this God of justice and righteousness. And this phrase that shows up in the Hebrew Scriptures over 38 times, which is scripture of God as God is a God of justice and righteousness. So I wanted to ask a question for you. What is justice and righteousness? What is justice? This is a big question. These are churchy words. Justice and righteousness. You want to even just take one piece of that. What is justice?
Fairness.
Doing what is needed or called for in a particular situation.
To right or wrong.
To right or wrong. Marcy?
It's not something we don't do. It's a balance of rights between people.
It's a balance between rights, or it's a balance between people, the concerns of people. Alyssa?
So it depends, there's two camps when it comes to justice. There's retributive justice and there's restorative justice. So restorative is teaching someone to correct what they've done wrong. Retributive tends to be getting even. So I lean more to the restorative side of justice myself.
Okay, so I'm going to step aside and say, yeah, like that. Okay, she just gave my sermon. But yes, I agree with you. We're going to unpack that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Sam?
Yeah, kind of like what Mel said. I think justice is maybe something right, but like last week's message, it's not about equal right, it's about quality right. So
right.
Not seeing equal, but it's equitable.
It's equitable.
Right.
Jeff?
In terms of characteristics, I see it as a reaction to something as opposed to proactive. Justice comes after something as opposed to, you know, I'm not saying that's what it should be, but that's
right.
The way it seems to be.
But it seems to be reactive, like something is wrong, and so then we come in. Yeah, that doesn't mean, and Jeff said that doesn't mean that that's the right way to do it, but it's just the way it is. And
to put two types of justice together, the deterrent from breaking the law of the future, but also retribution, the prayer that they're protecting us from ourselves is justice.
Right, protecting us from ourselves is also justice, too.
I think justice is reclaiming God's intention.
Reclaiming God's intention. Yeah. I like that.
Well, the word kind of defines itself. For example, if I use it in a sentence, my car is just as good as the answer.
Thank you.
So, so I've been playing with an image. So funny, it's so hard to follow. I've been playing with an image or metaphor for justice and righteousness that I think has been helpful as I've been thinking about this and thinking about social justice. Justice is the mirror of what we see is wrong in the world, and justice is our opportunity to reverse what is wrong. I think there are these two different ways of seeing justice, with retributive or punitive justice, where it's about holding someone accountable but only looking toward the punishment. And I think it's kind of, I look at it as a linear form of justice. A plus B equals C. So, for example, Joe robs John, Joe goes to jail. I think the Lord's Prayer is more about distributive justice. Distributive justice is much more complicated, it is much more complex, and it also requires us to participate more in the process. All of us. It includes accountability for the person who did something wrong, but it also looks to the deeper seeds of what has been sowed to create the wrong in the first place. It tries to be less reactive, and it tries to look at the whole system. So, for example, if there are five parts in a system, and one of those parts is shooken up, all of the others try to seek balance within the system. It's like if you've ever seen a spider web, you touch one spot of the spider web and the rest of the spider web moves, right? You can't disaffect one piece without affecting all others. So going back to the scenario of John, who's struggling because he's unemployed, or Joe is struggling because he's unemployed and his kids are hungry. So Joe robs John, leaves his children. John goes, if Joe then goes to jail and his kids go hungry, then they go to foster care. In a more distributive approach, Joe's social worker would come in, who would help Joe with resources for his family. It is also concerned with John's well-being, and not only John's well-being, but the trauma that he's experienced as well as his family. So it talks about accountability for Joe, counseling for John. It looks to restitution for these two families, and it looks to the community partners who can also support them in a process of accountability, forgiveness, and healing. I think it's harder work because it calls upon every person in a community to see themselves as part of the system, and it calls for more from all of us, but I think it also needs more lasting justice. The God of justice and righteousness, these are labels for God to talk about who we believe that God is. And every time we also pray this Lord's Prayer, we can participate in this vision for justice. Dietrich Bonhoeffer looks at community in this way. He says, Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this. We belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ. So he understood that in community we are all connected with one another, and that when one person is suffering from poverty or illness or being in prison or going hungry, when one person is suffering, all members are suffering. When all members of a community are suffering, God is suffering. And in Jesus and in his prayer, we have hope and a dream that justice is possible. So I think of that mirror, and I think that it takes tremendous faith and courage to reflect back what we see when there are pains and hurts and struggles. But there is one person in particular, I remember when I was in seminary, who really spoke to my heart, and he was a person who I thought, this is a person that I want to hear and see what he's hearing about social justice. And this man is Oscar Romero, who is Archbishop in San Salvador. And I'd like to show, does anyone know who Oscar Romero is? For those of you who don't know, this is a little bit of a video that's put together by the Romero Foundation in the UK, and it tells the story of his life. So let's watch this video together. Pastor Romero fought on the side of the poor. He listened to their stories and heard their suffering. I think what strikes me in my heart so deeply about him and his life is that he also ministered to those who were in positions of power. The elites who had control over the country, he also would confront the soldiers and say, and encourage them that on behalf of God, not to commit acts of violence, and the courage to stand up and to say that no more violence, no more suffering, no more pain. And he saw everyone's part in it. And he also called everyone to care as God calls us to care for one another. He fought for all the people to have peace, to understand compassion and love. And I think this is another part of distributed justice, is that we all share in suffering, we all share in joy. And we all, as a community, have this potential to right the wrongs that we see and to be a mirror to reflect what could possibly be to one another. Social justice is a mirror of what we see that is wrong in the world, and empowered through prayer, while walking with our friends and enemies, we can together seek a better world. Thinking about what's happening last night, I'm going to ignore the rest of what I've written here this morning because it is weighing on my heart deeply. Thinking about Oscar Romero and thinking about the man who walked into a synagogue and shot and murdered 11 people. And it is weighing heavy on my heart this morning. And so I'm wondering if we could mirror for one another and share deeply what we see about justice. And where is God calling us to justice? Where is God calling us to heal some of these deep wounds that we're experiencing as a society? How can we speak out against the wrongs that we see? How can we together participate in God's vision of social justice and seek a better world? Where is God calling you? Sandy?
So we have a lot of trouble here in middle school. There are a lot of kids. I have only 55 students this year, and over half of my students, their parents, I have a student on Friday who stabbed another student with a pencil and is possibly facing a 4-day out of school suspension. I'm not sure I need this.
It helps.
So he's facing a 4-day out of school suspension. And I'm saying to myself, and I'm a German teacher. I'm not an admin. I'm not a guidance. And then I feel like I left a note on my principal's desk and said, can I talk to you about this? I think there needs to be a push from the community to have restorative practices done in our schools where a student like this could be part of a restorative conference with another student that harmed, find a way to make restitution, and not just lose 4 days of school where he's going to be home probably unsupervised because his parents work, and what does he get out of that? This is a hurting a kid who's acting out, and can not only come from teachers who start to learn about this sort of practice, but it needs to come from the community, and it needs to come from parents and all of you, that these zero tolerance policies that we have in our schools, they don't work, and IRP has loads and loads of data for the fact that restorative practices in schools and in communities and in the news and in the justice system do work. And they work for the long term, and they just create better health, better social community overall. But If the powers that be don't hear that from everyone, and people, we kind of keep that to ourselves, and that's why I'm struggling with how to get this information that I have out so people listen to me and take incredibly. If we don't start saying things and being open about that, it's just going to be inside here.
To add to that, I believe First Press, that's one, I helped the data scientists, they're actually doing a workshop on restorative practices, so someone could probably reach out and find out more information on that. If someone of an expert in their congregation, then it's going to be sharing some stuff on it. And I think it's open to the community, but I'm not a person.
Word justice just used in itself is generic. I think back to Sue's point, divine justice, defined by what our Christian scriptures and other religious scriptures help us get our head around. Because everyone this week got a perpetrator, so they were pursuing justice. So therefore, I think we need to define when we talk about
that's why I think we need the righteousness piece. I think that's why scripture talks about justice and righteousness. I know we focus more. Righteousness is a big word, right? But I think it talks about how God is calling us to compassion and love and forgiveness. Righteousness is, I think it's often misinterpreted as being right or above, but really it's about God's goodness being connected with justice. I think you're right. These two things go hand in hand. Martin,
it's just like an eye for an eye, and it's like Bob said, these people who go out and commit these atrocities, do they think that it's justice? Eye for an eye, or do you, with love, turn the other cheek? And again, it's the lens in which you're looking at justice and what you call justice.
And in scripture, there is always accountability. Like when you read through the prophets, right, you're not just letting people off the hook. And turning the other cheek isn't a concept, right? So all this isn't a concept. Right, when to turn the other cheek, when to be accountable. So it's a balance. I saw Dan's hand up and Rich's hand up.
Right. I think the mistake is people are trying to take the situation into their own hands. And I often wonder how many people in America are hearing the message that they're hearing here on Sundays versus watching TV every night and being told to get out there and fight back. So that works on both sides. Sometimes you fight back because you hear that someone says the question back against you, and they're playing God instead of, you know, letting God create the world and just let go of all that hate and a little bit of light, you know, block it out. And playing God is something that many people nowadays don't recognize as themselves. Feel righteous and you have the right to make other people do what they want, act the way they want, and think the way they want. And obviously, the key thing is for the part of the
community. I think that's another part of the challenge, too, Rich, that you need, like, they think I am righteous, right? So, how do you check that? I think that's why community is so incredibly important, because we can check it. We can check it against scripture, we can check it against tradition. We can check it against our experience, against one another, right? We're not living just in the vacuum saying, I have all the righteous answers to pursue that justice, right? But I think, when you're isolated and you're only listening to certain voices, then you can become reactive. So I think that's important. Dan, do you have a minute?
Yeah, and I don't know, my mind races, right? There's a lot of thoughts going on, and like listening to Mark's point, you think about, right, the perpetrator felt he was taking justice, he or she, was taking justice into their own hands. Society, after the fact, when they pursue, punish, and do whatever, feels like they're going to take justice into their hands and serve justice upon that. individual who did something wrong. Society can spend, you know, the next 2 weeks debating over, you know, AR-14s and assault rifles and all this other stuff, and we could have done it with a knife or a vehicle or any other mechanism. And again, what bothers me about that is, like, to me, the ultimate justice is thinking before all that happens, and how as a society can we stop that from happening? You know, what can we do? What kind of justice can exist before the violence, before someone feels they have to do something and take it in their hands, and let justice exist so it doesn't happen? You know?
Right. And I think that also helps. I think people begin to feel powerless if that's where the conversation goes and if nothing changes. So that can become part of the problem too. It's, I love this quote from Oscar Romero about just participating in one piece, to just do something and to do that thing well, whatever it is that you're called to do, so that we can make change in the world. It is a step along the way, right? Because that's another part of the problem, is with these conversations, and it feels like we never can get to some answers that are working well for people. I got for me another kind of formula for framing how I think and who I want to be as a child of God and as a follower of Jesus to help me to do my small part, to participate in conversations, to build relationships, and to kind of ground myself in the vision for God's kingdom. It's about seeking justice to be curious, connected, and to have courage. So curiosity is listening to others who are different from me, listening to someone of a different socioeconomic status, a different race, a different social position, hearing their stories and letting them be a mirror for me about where they see injustice. So curiosity. And then through that curiosity, to build connection, to build relationships that matter. So thinking about our team that goes down to Honduras, right? So when we hear these stories on the news, it's not just this caravan of people, but these are real people with real stories that we have real relationships with. And we understand who they are. We're connected. So curiosity, connected, and courage. To have courage to work for justice and to find restorative ways to find healing in our local community that is grounded in the common good. I think curiosity, connection, and courage can help to root us in relationships, root us in relationship with God, root us in relationship with our neighbors. And in all those things, we can seek justice and righteousness together in community and dare to live with our lives this idea that love wins. So I pray that in some small way, you can have a small impact for justice as you go your way this week. May peace be with you.